This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
It's 6:06. Welcome to Inside Story, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Today, we're looking at those daily COVID-19 numbers, the ones that have become so ubiquitous in our lives, how they're gathered, how we understand them, and how they affect us. So first, we'll be discussing how these daily numbers are put together and how we can make sense of them. And then we'll look at the psychology behind how we respond to these constant updates of those rising numbers. This is Inside Story. It is 6:07. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. So we have gotten pretty used to those daily updates on COVID-19 numbers, right? And just over the last 4 days, we've had a pretty, I think, a pretty anxiety-inducing time for most of us, safe to say. Malaysia has been reporting more than 2,000 daily positive cases. The highest of those was in was on April 16th, where we hit 2,551 cases. Now, the last time we had over 2,000 cases was on the 5th of March. And as of now, the number of our new cases is more than our number of recoveries. The reason we bring this up is because we were thinking about this idea of how we respond to these numbers, right? They've become a near constant. Many of us pay attention every day at a particular time, or we either subscribe or follow a COVID tracker and we look at what our daily numbers are. But as we've learned to live with these updates over the course of the year, there have also been questions in terms of whether those numbers are entirely accurate, whether they depict a true number, a true idea of how bad the situation might be, or whether it's improving. And that has gotten many people wanting to understand better, I think, how this sort of data is gathered and how perhaps we can make better sense of it. Now, the other component of this is, of course, our own personal reactions to this data. Are we equipped mentally, psychologically, to be dealing with these sorts of updates on a daily basis? What does it do to us? Does it help to keep informed, or does it conversely perhaps create anxiety? And should we be maybe switching off once in a while, or disengaging from the constant updates? I think these are all questions that many of us have probably asked ourselves, asked each other over the course of the year. And that's what we're going to be looking at on Inside Story today. What we want to know from you is, it's pretty simple, really. How do you react to those daily COVID-19 numbers and updates? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, coming up, we will first look at the numbers themselves, how they're gathered and what they mean. We'll be speaking with Dr. Lau Chir Han, who is a chief data scientist at LEED. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, that was Depeche Mode with Everything Counts. A rather appropriate song for what we're discussing today on Inside Story. It is 6:16. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. And today we're discussing COVID-19 numbers, how they're gathered, how they affect us, and also how they impact us in terms of how we feel about them. Now, this is coming about at a time when, of course, our numbers have been spiking over the last few days. And this has renewed questions from various quarters, I think, in terms of how it's gathered, whether they're entirely accurate. Possibly the most high-profile person to bring this into question over the last couple of days has been UMNO President and Bagan Dato' MP Dato' Sri Dr. Ahmad Zahid Hamidi. And he shared in a Facebook post that he had doubts about our daily COVID-19 reports from the Ministry of Health. And he asked various questions about them, including how valid those numbers were and who verifies them. So we're going to be looking at that data gathering process in this next interview. But we want to know how you feel about these daily COVID-19 numbers? Are you one of those that looks out for them? Are you one of those who keeps track of them? Or have you been feeling a sense of fatigue with these numbers? You can call us, 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Dr. Lau Cher Han, who is a chief data scientist over at LEED, a tech institute for data science and digital marketing. Dr. Lau, thank you for joining us. So first off, could you give us an overview of how data on COVID-19 is collected here in Malaysia?
Now, we do have a comprehensive COVID-19 assessment and response system, which MOH called the e-COVID-19 systems. Every day by 10 o'clock in the morning, the district level PKD, which is Pejabat Kesihatan Daerah, they will need to submit a daily report to the state level JKN, which is Jabatan Kesihatan Negeri, so that they can tally their reports. And I think that this part, everybody hears it from DG most of the time. The JKN will then need to compile and submit the final report every day by 12 o'clock to our national CPRC, Crisis Preparedness and Response Center. And also, we do have a pretty good response access team and also rapid response teams who handle the cases that and also contact tracings, which we identify from the field.
So is this process the same for other countries as well?
So the process or the general framework is pretty much the same or in a similar way. But for some countries, like for instance Australia, they will have a much stricter but shorter lockdown period. As we can see often from the news, right? Every time when they identify one or two cases, especially the community cases, they will then immediately announce a lockdown or a regional or zonal lockdown, but only for a shorter period, like 3 to 5 days.
And as we learn more about the infections and the pandemic over the course of the past year, has that data collection process or those methods changed or evolved?
Our overall process is definitely improved, and we have learned a lot for the period of time, and especially after a couple of MCOs. We have improved the data collection process and also the reporting processes. You will be surprised that if we compare it with other countries, right? Many of the other countries are still using manual ways of Excel spreadsheets or even fax machine to submit the reports, basically because of the internet coverage and also some of the rural areas that do not have good infrastructures.
And what are some common misconceptions, rather, that the public might have about the daily COVID-19 numbers?
One thing that when it comes to general public in terms of interpreting the COVID-19 numbers, I think we focus too much on the number of positive cases only and without looking at other numbers, like for example the recovery cases and also the R0 or the transmission rate. Because COVID-19 is a highly communicable disease, looking at the R0 actually means a lot to us. And sometimes, even if the number of cases is low, if the R0 or the transmission or spreadability is high, it means that we are still not in a safe environment.
Now, most recently, Zahid Hamidi has questioned whether the Ministry of Health numbers are accurate and how those numbers are verified. What are your thoughts on his statement?
Well, let's put politics aside. There's definitely no benefits for MOH or any government or anybody to try to do so to intentionally massage the numbers. At the end of the day, we have to be responsible to the global community and also WHO, for example. And well, I have to say, right, if somebody tried to relate these issues or these numbers with the recent bazaars or other considerations like interstate travel because we want to bring our parents, elderly to go for vaccines, that's definitely not the case because it's too early to judge based on the statistics. So let's not point the finger to anyone. And often when we look at the numbers, right, we tend to zoom into a particular segments or snapshots of the numbers. But looking at the 7 days moving average will actually be a much better way to have a clearer picture of what is happening.
And let's talk about the kind of checks and balances that are in place when it comes to the reporting of these numbers.
Certainly there are quite a number of cases where we have read people falsifying the COVID-19 cases numbers. Well, some people do it because they want to avoid going to work, and some people do it for other personal reasons. There are also people who knew that they have developed symptoms but ignoring it. And our country does have a system called Sistem Informasi Makmal Kesehatan Awam, or SIMKA, which we MOH use it to check the numbers. And I think most important part is that citizens work together hand in hand to win this fight.
Now, one of the roles of this sorts of data or numbers is really to communicate with the public, right? But when it comes to public communication, how effective are numbers? I mean, how can they be presented in a more relatable way?
I think we are one of the countries in the region that take this reporting of number of cases and this number as a severe matter, especially at the early stage of COVID-19. We can see that DG comes up and came up and report the numbers on a daily basis. But when it comes to public communications, right, for somebody who are not well-trained to understand these numbers, they actually means nothing to them. They are just hard, cold facts and numbers. So we can try to give more interpretations or give more meanings to the data, or we can do a little bit more work to try to educate the general public, try to understand this data. I think that will be more effective. And I have spoken to a lot of our medical workers, frontliners, and as well as other data scientists, data analysts. They also feel that if we can get access to a more fine-grained or raw form of the data, that will help us in building our models more effectively. But of course, we do understand that there are considerations from the government. And I think this is where you guys come in. Like, media play an important role because you guys are the one that actually keeping people informed, well-connected, well. And the positive impact of the media is even more important when it comes to promoting emotional stability among people. And I think the challenges when it comes to communicating data to the general public in a more meaningful way is, when it comes to storytelling, we want to strike a good balance between making the information easily understandable, easily accessible, but at the same time, we need to maintain a professional, neutral tone, and the level of professionalism needs to be there.
Now, looking forward, with the vaccine rollout already having started, what sorts of important data will we need to focus on moving ahead?
Now, first thing that came to our mind is certainly the number of doses that they are given and the people who have been fully vaccinated. Another thing that we always neglect, like I mentioned earlier, is the mutation. So, for instance, there are a few reports mentioned about B117 strain virus was recently imported to Singapore a few days ago. And all of a sudden, India recorded close to 300,000 of new cases in a single day. And if you compare this with the population of Brazil and the number of cases that they have recorded, they are currently in the world top three positions. Those numbers are scary and alarming at the same time. So these are some of the macro indicators that we should be looking at while monitoring the spread of COVID-19. And on the other hand, we do see there are some countries that have achieved more than 50% of vaccination rate or immunization. So it's also important to keep an eye on what is happening in those countries. And for example, like, is there any side effects or is there any reinfection after they are given second dose of their vaccines? I think these are some of the important indicators that we should be looking out for.
Dr. Lau, thanks so much for joining us this evening. That was Dr. Lau Cherhan, Chief Data Scientist at LEAD, speaking to us about the data gathering process when it comes to the daily COVID-19 numbers. And we want to know how you've been reacting to these updates. Do you make a point of getting those daily COVID-19 numbers and keeping abreast of them? Or are you someone who prefers to kind of keep that at arm's length? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up, we'll look at how those daily numbers and constant updates have impacted our mental health with Dr. Hariati Sharima of Mercy Malaysia. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just coming up to 6:38. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. And today we're talking about COVID-19 numbers, how we get them, how to make sense of them, and how they make us feel. So earlier we heard from data scientist Lim Chir Han about, Lau Chir Han. And he talked to us about how the data is gathered and how we can perhaps learn to understand them a little better. And on that note, we do have this message from Kamarun Nizam, who asks, I think something that many of us have wondered over the last year, how do you count the R-naught? Now, I can't pretend that I knew this offhand, but I did do a little bit of checking, and the R-naught number basically represents the average number of people that a single infected person can transmit the disease to. So in other words, it's a calculation of how spreadable an infectious disease is. I hope that helps. If you need more help, it's actually a lot of information online on how you can Google this. And we also have this message from an anonymous person who says, I'm guilty at times in trying to get the daily numbers and to post them in WhatsApp groups first. Am I alone in this? I'm not sure. I mean, I work for the media, therefore I think I may not be perhaps somebody who does this as often, but also I feel like the numbers have stopped being as big a part of how we react to the pandemic as the year has gone by. And there's a certain amount of fatigue that more and more of us are getting. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about next. The psychology of how we respond to these daily COVID-19 numbers, what they do to us in terms of our mental health. Is it better to stay engaged, or is it perhaps better to take a step back once in a while? So we want to know how you feel as you get those daily COVID-19 numbers updates. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on the line with us, we have Dr. Hariati Sharima Abdul Majid, a health psychologist at Mercy Malaysia. Dr. Hari, thanks so much for speaking with us today. Now, we wanted to start with those COVID-19 numbers. These updates, really, we've been having them for over a year now. What role would you say they've played when it comes to the general public's perception and response to the pandemic?
Thank you for this opportunity to talk about COVID-19 and its effects on the general population. So COVID-19 still brings with it many uncertainties, Sharmila, and it is affecting people differently. So the numbers that have been provided daily over a year now still has an effect on Malaysians, but in different ways. It may used to result in worries and fear because of the uncertainties attached to the disease, but now it may no longer be that way. For some people, the numbers are just numbers. They no longer process it. People have become habituated to it, so they no longer seek information with regards to the incidence of COVID-19 on a daily basis. But I think what we are seeing, although this is not backed by research yet, is that instead of resulting in worries and fear, the numbers are actually contributing to the development of feelings of maybe anger and upset, because people may feel that they have, you know, done what they should be doing for the past year to control the R-naught, but they're not seeing it in the statistics provided. So the emotions or the psychological reactions that we are seeing may have evolved throughout the year, the past year, with the numbers being very, uncertain. It used to be that people may be worried about the numbers, the increasing numbers, but maybe now people have become habituated to it. People have become disillusioned by it, and some people may be responding to the numbers with anger, and these emotions may actually result in different types of behaviors among Malaysians.
So on that note then, how have these daily updates and this sort of constant awareness of those COVID-19 numbers, what does it do to our mental well-being? Are there both positives as well as negatives to being so constantly in tune?
So the thing is, again, like I said, you know, because there were many more uncertainties which were attached to COVID-19 in the early stages, and now people's representations of the illness may have changed. People feel that they can't control the illness with the changes in behavior, lifestyle modifications. They can, you know, wash their hands more often, wear the mask. So maybe, again, like I said, this is not my statement. It's not necessarily backed by research in Malaysia. But people may actually now develop better resilience towards the pandemic. However, it depends on the context and situation. If COVID-19 continues to affect their livelihood, if COVID-19 continues to affect the life of people who are physically vulnerable, then you know, mental health is actually going to be affected. What I think we are seeing is what we call COVID burnout, or sometimes people call it COVID fatigue. COVID burnout is not just about being tired of having to live with the disease and its implications, but people may actually develop or have started developing what we call disillusionment. People have become cynical to the illness itself. You know, people will say that no matter what I do, you know, it's not actually going to affect any changes. So why should I continue doing what I've been asked to do? But for some people who are seeing the positive effects or impacts of changing their lifestyle, changing their behaviors associated with COVID-19, they may not be disillusioned. They may actually see a real impact on their health, on their livelihood. So I think it all depends on, you know, how at the initial level, initial stages of COVID-19, how we had mobilized our coping strategies. And that's why, you know, I am part of Mercy Malaysia, and that's why the initial mental health support at the initial stages of COVID-19 was very important, because we needed to make sure that people were able to mobilize coping strategies, you know, educate on the process or the progress of our own mental health with the, you know, with the progress or, you know, of COVID-19. So I think we are seeing now a little bit more burnout. There's a sense of mental fatigue with the numbers, with the disease itself. People are disillusioned to see whether they are, you know, to see what they're doing is actually having any impact. And people may also develop a sense of, you know, inefficiency. Like I said earlier, you know, like no matter what you do, you know, it is not going to, we're not going to be able to continue controlling or melandaikan the curve of COVID-19. But I guess, like, it all depends on various situations, and one of them is the coping strategies that we have been able to mobilize throughout the year.
And how do social media and the digital landscape come into this in the way that we process these daily numbers?
The good thing about the social media is that people have a choice of what they want to go to, you know, what information they want to seek, what information they want to avoid. You know, so people without social media, you know, do not have or have that control not to have access to information that's being shared on it. What I am seeing is that with many things in our life is that there is a strong demarcation or strong black and white ways of reporting about this illness. Not many media are able to actually, this is my personal point of view after reading or after looking at various, you know, social media platforms that provide a neutral or an empathic, a compassionate means of communicating about COVID-19, and now especially with vaccination. What I'm concerned about is that there are always two camps of looking at things. You know, you are either for it or you're against it. You are, you know, for vaccination or against vaccination, or you trust the numbers or you don't trust the numbers. And I think I think we need to actually create narratives. We need to actually make sure that the information and education that we provide to Malaysian, the readers, appeal to their belief system, their risk perceptions, you know, their attitudes, and what is meaningful to them. So you have media which only provides statistics, numbers after numbers, and people, like I said earlier, have become habituated to it, or they may, you know, and the messaging is very authoritarian or, you know, very directive. In other words, it's from the experts, therefore you have to believe it. But you also have on the other hand, you know, platforms that actually are creating narratives or providing narratives which are very much anti, you know, authority messages. And people who are, you know, people who are, who read a certain type of media are more likely to, what do you call that, adopt what we call cognitive heuristics. You know, they adopt shortcut ways of getting access to this information. So they choose what they want to read. They adopt, unfortunately, cognitive biases called selective perception. They only read what they want to read. They want to hear what they want to hear. But if you have a media platform, social media or mainstream media, which actually appeals to, you know, human beings' cognitive processes, empathy, being able to appeal to their emotions and their concerns about the COVID without creating unnecessary fear, you know, so that people are able to process the information a lot more logically, a lot more consistently and coherently, social media can be very, very impactful.
We're speaking with Dr. Hariati Sharima Abdul Majid, health psychologist at Mercy Malaysia, about the mental health impact of those daily COVID-19 numbers updates. When we return, we'll continue the conversation. This is Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Beyond frivolous matters, BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:50. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. We're talking about the reporting of COVID-19 numbers and how this may impact our mental health. We are joined by Dr. Hariati Sharima Abdul Majid, health psychologist at Mercy Malaysia. Continuing from our conversation earlier, Dr. Hariati, do you think it's necessary for the public to be informed with these COVID numbers on a daily basis?
Okay. I think, you know, like I said, people have different perceptions and different varying responses towards COVID-19 and its impact. Personally, I still continue to follow the numbers because I am interested in it as a psychologist, as a scientist, and I'm also very interested in the narratives in the social media, people's responses towards it. I think it should be made available. It should be made accessible, but, you know, people have a choice, and I think this is what people need to actually be doing. A lot of people are angry about the numbers, but they still continue to seek the numbers to justify their beliefs about where this illness is going, where this disease is going, you know, and unfortunately, lots of conspiracy theories are now becoming stronger. It used to be there, you know, in the background, but people are now beginning to actually seek alternative information. So I think with the numbers, the statistics that are actually presented, there has to be a narrative or story behind it. I think it's important that public health messaging include the humans behind the numbers instead of just having the numbers. And I think, you know, messages that are continuously maybe aiming, maybe it's not the aim, but may be perceived as aiming to instill fear, may no longer be working. I think that is a challenge that we need to be open to and willing to deal with. We need to actually start thinking about how we communicate with Malaysians in at different levels, you know, so one messaging will not be effective for everyone. And I think with Malaysians, especially with those who are resistant, we need to actually have different levels or different types of people, different types of professionals coming in to provide feedback on how we can create this messages for it to be effective. So is it necessary? I think it should be available. It should be accessible. But I think it may need a different way of creating the narratives, the messaging, so that we are able to actually be realistic in the way that we process it, and therefore our willingness to continue to adopt the health-related behaviors associated with reducing the numbers.
So then where do we draw that line between staying informed and taking care of our mental health?
So as early as day one, when when we began our mental health support through our COVID-19 hotline, This Is Mercy Malaysia, we advise people to actually limit the number of amount of time that we spend on social media, on news about COVID-19, because there is a high likelihood that we may be, mentally overwhelmed, this cognitive overload of information. And as if we are overloaded with information, then we may not be able to actually process the information in a more rational and coherent way. So where do we draw the line? I think it all, again, depends on our own mental representation of the disease itself, how we represent the disease, what kind of coping strategies we have been able to mobilize, and also how resilient we have developed, or how we have been since, the first case arrived here in Malaysia. So if we know that we are vulnerable to, having mental health issues as a result of COVID-19, I think it's important that we ourselves do, we've talked about taking, doing self-care, making sure that we take care of ourselves, but we need to be aware of our symptoms, we need to be aware of our vulnerability and risk, and we have to make that decision to not be looking for information on COVID-19 all the time. So the line is different for different people. Like I said, I do look out for the information on a daily basis, but I do know how to cognitively reframe that information. I do know what kind of information to filter. I do know what kind of information to actually be using to guide my daily behaviors. Now, for instance, if the numbers continue to increase, it is within my control to make the decision not to go to work, to request to work from home, for instance. But if we feel that working from home is not within our control, that we have no control over the decisions that we're going to make, so regardless of whether the number increases or not, then it may actually affect our mental health. So I think everyone plays a role now. I think it's very important that employers recognize that mental health will continue to actually be an issue, especially when it comes to economy and livelihood. And I think it used to be that working from home is the only option, but now employers need to make sure that it is an option that's within the control of their staff and employees,
Dr. Harry, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for the trust. And I hope that this has helped a little bit from one angle of trying to understand, how we are responding to the disease. And I hope that Malaysians do not give up hope. But I think, do not give hope is part of resilience. And I think we need to push that agenda forward to actually say that we are able to do this, enhance our sense of self-efficacy, go back to kita jaga kita. It's a collective effort. So these are the things that we need to empower Malaysians with. So numbers are not, they are there. Whether people think they're made up or they're real, it is still among us. COVID-19 is still among us. We need to empower ourselves, be empowered by the authorities to make the right decisions.
Thank you again, Dr. Harry. That was Dr. Hariati Sharima Abdul Majid, health psychologist with Mercy Malaysia, speaking to us about the psychological and mental health impact of those daily COVID-19 numbers updates. And we've been asking you how you respond to them, how you react to those numbers. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have we did have a caller earlier, Muzaffar, who left us with this message, more to do with, I think, the type of data that we're given. So Muzaffar says, it's good to have the data and we should keep publishing it, but we need more details. So for example, if it's 2,000 positive cases, how many were tested in total? Let the experts provide the numbers, but it must come with a certain level of transparency, and you have to engage with the media and the rakyat. Muzaffar, I completely agree. I think along with what Dr. Harry was speaking about earlier, this question of thinking about the humans who are involved in this, part of that is also creating a sense of trust, a sense of a faith among the rakyat, I think. And transparency will go a long way in terms of both allowing us to believe in the situation that we're in, but also giving context to what those numbers mean, rather than just looking at them as data. So keep those thoughts coming. Tell us how you feel about those daily numbers. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.